Liebe Zuschauerinnen und liebe Zuschauer.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, we greet you very warmly to the third program in our series, The Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit, a cosmic work of teaching and learning from the School of Divine Wisdom. As announced in our last program, in the third program we will be learning about the work of the four primordial powers in the condensed being. In the following elucidations, a well-read citizen and a scientist will try to convey information to us about the four primordial powers in matter. But as stated, everything remains at an attempt to unveil the work of the Spirit of God in matter.
Den wirkenden Gottesgeist in der Materie zu entschleiern.
Die nachfolgenden Ausführungen.
May the following explanations stimulate us to reflect on how God is active in matter with his foredrawing, that is, creating powers, so that we may perhaps be able to grasp the nearness of God, the omnipresent Spirit in matter. The eternal foredrawing and creating powers, also called primordial powers, simply have other names in matter, and corresponding terms are associated with them, so that we human beings may come to understand that the primordial eternal one works in different substances and materials of matter as well as in the body of every person. We heard about the drawing and creating powers, the four primordial powers, which bear within the three attribute powers of the Father, Mother, God. Since all things are contained in everything, the law powers of the Spirit are also contained in matter as energetic basic powers. Due to the fall thought on the one hand and the three dimensions on the other, in matter, the foredrawing and creating powers, including the three attribute powers, are viewed differently in matter and are poured into other forms than in the pure being. Considering the great cosmic correlations, all efforts of science are merely a search for traces, even when ever so many means and so much energy are used to gain information about the origin of the material universe. When modern physics presents the Big Bang Theory with complex models, many a one embraces the usual scientific explanation of the material universe. The Big Bang Theory says, and we will hear more about this later, that approximately 14 billion years ago, the birth of the material cosmos was initiated with the so-called Big Bang, from an unimaginably energy-rich starting point. Everything is said to have gone forth from it that works visibly and invisibly in the whole material cosmos, with its billions of solar systems. Many accept this process, which is unimaginable to us human beings, as a given, simply because science explains it that way today. On the subject of the Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit, there is often mention of the four nature powers and the three attribute powers of God. When we look at these somewhat more closely, we conclude that in all the processes taking place on matter, but also in all life forms, we can recognize the four nature powers of God, which manifest themselves as the four powers of development, that is, the basic powers in all being, thus also in matter, in the most varying forms of appearance. scientific models of explanation, as surely as they appear at the respective time, are usually merely attempts at clarification, which correspond to the state of respective scientific research. They are based on observation, experimentation, and the theories that build on them. Often, this knowledge is certain only until it is overtaken by new knowledge. However, the latest position in physics, mathematics, astronomy, biology, and other branches of science lets us recognize many parallels to the overall picture that is conveyed to us from the spiritual world. Of particular interest concerning this is the way the described primordial powers of the All work in the material cosmos. Whenever natural scientists, philosophers, and humanists occupied themselves with an explanation of the harmony of the All, the Tetraktys played a central role. The discovery of world harmony is attributed to Pythagoras of Samos. He lived from 570 to 510 BC. The Pythagoreans assumed a harmony of the spheres, in which each heavenly body produces a certain sound according to its size, speed, and distance from other heavenly bodies, which this sound leads to the music of the spheres. They assumed a congruence of mathematical, musical, and cosmic harmonies. The basis and key of their world knowledge was the group of four. The Pythagoreans had a form of oath, in which it was said, "By the one who gave our soul, the Tetraktys, which contains the source and root of the eternally flowing nature." They spoke of God, who entrusted the holy Tetraktys to our being, implanted in the divine being. In music, they concluded that the harmonious basic consonants could be expressed with the four numbers of the Tetraktys. According to the Pythagoreans, the Tetraktys also forms the basis of geometry. The one stands for the point, the two for the line, the three for the surface, and the four for the body volume. And Giordano Bruno, who referred to the Pythagoreans, wrote, "The Tetraktys is the first thing to be found in the nature of space bodies." But modern physics also knows four basic powers, to which all physical processes can be traced back. Why exactly four? They are the phenomena of four basic powers observed in the physical world that are effective in matter. These powers, about which we will hear some more, which are also called fundamental interactions, have the effect that certain particles can attract, repel, or come into interaction with each other in other ways. They form the energetic framework of visible matter. One of the goals of modern physics is to conceive of an overall concept, the so-called theory of everything, which combines the four basic powers or interactions in such a way that it will become possible to trace back the four basic powers and all their forms of appearance to one basic power. The life forms in the pure spiritual being have a different structure than the life forms in matter. The spirit body of the beings in the kingdom of God is built in a particle structure that is respirated by the primordial light via the prison suns. And the life forms in the coarse material existence are also respirated by the breath of God. However, on earth, the cells form the basic component of life. The four powers of God's drawing and creating power are also active in these cells, but in the material form, in structures and condensed forms, other than in the eternal being, in the kingdom of God. We find the efficacy of the four drawing and creating powers, which are reflected in the body cells, in the basic genetic components of DNA. They are the four nuclear bases, which, in their various combinations, form the basis for all organic life forms. From their various combinations, develop the unimaginably diversity of all life forms in the material being. Let us consider that everything is energy, vibration. The four spiritual drawing and creating powers radiate into coarse materiality and within the spiritual principles that are valid in matter bring forth the corresponding life forms. Interestingly, the formation of sperm cells in a man is also based on one original sperm cell that, through division, causes four original sperms to develop. These four original sperms develop into four typical sperms capable of fertilization. And so, from one original sperm cell, develop four original sperms respectively. Here too, a small reflection on the creation event. Likewise, the phenomena of light in the material being bear within the principles of the primordial light. However, they are adapted to the principles of condensation in matter. We see this especially clearly when we refract white light through prisms into seven spectral colors. Isaac Newton determined the seven spectral colors as red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. According to the concept of color by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, white light is the causative light in which the seven spectral colors are contained.
Well, dear people, even a scientific point of view has a lot of interesting things to say about the work of the four powers in matter. All physical phenomena in nature are based on four basic powers, in other words, four fundamental interactions. These basic powers are gravitation, electromagnetic force, weak nuclear force, and strong nuclear force. Of the basic powers, man can perceive gravitation and electromagnetic force in daily life. Gravitation ensures the weight of all living beings and objects and is responsible for the fact that the planets revolve around the sun in certain orbits. The electromagnetic force is responsible for most daily phenomena such as light, electricity, and magnetism, chemistry, and much more. Gravitation and the electromagnetic force have a large range and are effective in the entire universe, while the weak and the strong nuclear force have an extremely small range and are effective only within the scope of an atomic nucleus. Weak nuclear force is responsible for certain radioactive decay processes, among others also for the atomic processes in the Sun, the so-called nuclear fusion, with the help of which the Sun produces its energy. The fourth force is the strong nuclear force, which is responsible for the cohesion of protons and neutrons. We could say that the strong nuclear force holds the world together in its innermost part. At short distances, the strong nuclear force is approximately 100 times stronger than the other forces. It can be verified in experiments in particle accelerators that the intensity of the three forces increasingly match each other, the higher the particle energies and thus the temperatures are. Above a certain temperature, a unification of the electromagnetic and weak nuclear forces occurs, which is then described as electroweak force. The standard model of particle physics assumes that above a certain temperature and energy, a merging of the strong nuclear force with the electroweak force occurs. At even much higher temperatures and energies, a uniform superforce could then form from all four nature powers. Such extreme physical conditions can only have occurred with the Big Bang. The Big Bang does not describe an explosion in an existing space. Rather, under the Big Bang in the physical sense, we understand the starting point of matter, space and time. Most astronomers assume that the material universe began with the Big Bang about 13.7 billion years ago. The immediate Big Bang event itself cannot be described physically and mathematically with the formulas known to us. Astronomers surmise that at the beginning of the visible universe, there was a very small area of space, smaller than the head of a pin, consisting of space-time quantum foam. Presumably, within a minimalist fragment of a second after the Big Bang event, this teeny area of space expanded into huge dimensions. The inflation of the universe was gigantic. We can imagine it somewhat as if one atom were to expand to about 10,000 light years. Mind you, a light year is 9.5 billion kilometers. Of course, science has sought explanations for how it came to this inflation of the universe. Today, most astronomers assume that a very strong energy field, the so-called inflation field, caused the expansion. This energy field most likely had a repelling gravitational force that increased ever more with the growing volume of space. At the end of this inflation, there was a very hot particle mixture with temperatures of around 10 to the power of 29 degrees Kelvin, that is 110 with 29 zeros, that is unimaginably high temperatures. The following era is called the electroweak era. During this phase, the fundamental particles appeared. The universe slowly cooled more and more. After 380,000 years, the universe became permeable to light. The cosmic background radiation, presently measured by satellites, stemmed from this time. When the universe was still very, very tiny, quanta fluctuations must have occurred, which, through the expansion of the universe, inflated to huge magnitudes. Regions developed in the All with more particles and other regions with fewer particles than on the average. Within a billion years after the Big Bang, gravitation began to build up the first complex and massive structures. The most recent measurement results indicate that there are 100 to 200 billion galaxies in the universe, all of which are more or less similar to our Milky Way. Every galaxy consists of up to 200 billion stars. The total number of stars in the universe could be given in words as 20 trillion stars. That is a number with 22 zeros. Dear viewers, dear listeners, these are numbers that we simply cannot imagine. To illustrate this, we could imagine the following. If each star in the universe were to correspond to a fine grain of sand, then we could cover the entire surface of Germany with half a meter of sand. For a long time, it was believed that with the model of the Big Bang, the key to understanding the universe, as it were, had been found. But during recent years, it has become increasingly clear that many of the phenomena in the universe are neither properly researched nor understood. One example is that of dark matter. Over the course of the 20th century, astronomers discovered, while observing galaxies and galaxy clusters, that their dynamism cannot be explained from the amount of visible matter. There must definitely be more matter in the universe than assumed. Because this matter does not radiate any light, it is called dark matter. As we know today, around the galaxies there is a corona of dark matter that is at least 10 times as large as the region in which the stars are revolving. Only since a few years has it been known that our universe is developing totally differently than was previously assumed. Contrary to former concepts, since approximately 5 billion years, the universe has been expanding ever faster. This is called cosmic acceleration. The original concept was that the universe draws together, that gravitation gains the upper hand. The volume of space in the All must possess a kind of internal energy which is constantly pressing outward and attempting to make the universe become larger. What is extraordinary about this is that this energy also increases with increasing volume. There is no scientific explanation at all for this energy, which is called dark energy. Today, it is assumed that the universe consists of only 4.6% atomic matter that is also visible to us. Approximately 23% is dark matter, and about 73% is accounted for by dark energy. If dark energy keeps the upper hand in the universe, which astronomers assume, it comes to a total dissolution of all material components. Even the black holes will then presumably be annihilated. Then there will be only a minimal radiation. If for some reason or other gravitation should gain the upper hand in the All, the universe would contract and at some time or other totally disappear. So, of course, an interesting question is, what was before the Big Bang? The general theory of relativity states that the world had its beginning at one point in the cosmic past. Questions regarding what came before would make no sense. The Big Bang model deals with the question of how the Big Bang took place, but it does not ask about the reason for the Big Bang and certainly does not ask what was before. Several astronomers and physicists are not satisfied with the Big Bang model and have developed totally different ideas. For example, there is the model of a big bounce. Before our universe, there was another universe that was filled with quanta fields and consisted of pure energy. Other mathematical physical models presume cyclical universes. The final state of a universe then automatically leads to a new beginning in the form of a Big Bang. Physicists have frequently been amazed that of the four fundamental forces in physics, gravitation is by far the weakest of all the forces. One hypothesis is that gravitation seeps, so to speak, into a parallel universe, thus thinning out in our universe.
und sich dadurch in unserem Universum ausdünnt.
In summary, we can say the following. According to the present state of scientific knowledge, directly at the time of the Big Bang, a uniform force must have existed from which the first gravitation split off and in the further course of things, then the other basic powers. We encounter the tetractyl also in the four quantum numbers. Just as the four nature powers play a prominent role in physics, so do the four quantum numbers have a central meaning in chemistry. At the time the makeup of an atom was being researched, it soon became known that the atomic nucleus consists of protons and neutrons. Electrons revolve around the nucleus. The electron shells of atoms play a central role for chemical reactions and compounds. It took many years until the condition of the atomic shell could be satisfactorily described. To be able to correctly describe an electron, four quantum numbers are needed. The principal quantum number, the angular quantum number, the magnetic quantum number, and the spin projection quantum number. An important principle in chemistry and physics states that two electrons that match in all four quantum numbers can never appear in one atom. And so, each electron has its own character, that is, an independent pattern of quantum numbers. Dear viewers, dear listeners, what is also very instructive is the fact that four bases determine the genetic code. Deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA, is the carrier of the genetic information in nearly all life forms. Only very few kinds of virus use ribonucleic acid, or RNA, to store information. Only four molecules are necessary for storing and coding genetic information. They are called nucleotide bases: adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. A group of three consecutive nucleotides is the code for an amino acid. As we know, amino acids are the components of all proteins. Thus, nature needs only four different molecules to decode the information of the genetic makeup or genome. Remarkable is that, with just a few exceptions, the genetic code for all living beings is the same. And so all living beings make use of the same genetic language. The four-element concept should also be mentioned. The so-called four humors theory was developed in the medicine of antiquity. It remained dominant for natural scientists and medicine until the end of the 19th century. The four humors were blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm. These fluids were also assigned to the corresponding temperaments, meaning sanguine, choleric, melancholy, and phlegmatic types of people. The doctrine of the four temperaments inspired personality psychology even into the 20th century. The physicians of antiquity, for example, Hippocrates of Kos, Galen of Pergamon, viewed health as a harmonious mixture of the bodily fluids. According to their understanding, illnesses develop from an incorrect mixture of these four substances. It is also well known that important biomolecules have a four-part structure. There is a group of natural substances that have a pronounced four-part structure. These substances are called porphyrins. They consist of four symmetrically arranged ring molecules. Very important molecules belong to the group of porphyrins. For instance, the blood pigment hemoglobin, the red muscle pigment myoglobin, electron transferring proteins in the power plants of the cells, as well as in the mitochondria, and enzymes to detoxify free radicals. The most prevalent compound of this kind on Earth is the chlorophyll in plants. With the help of this green pigment, plants can use sunlight as a source of energy for the formation of glucose. Vitamin B12, too, has a similar molecular makeup as hemoglobin. Interesting regarding porphyrins is that in the inner part of the molecule, enveloped by the four ring molecules, various metals can be found. For example, iron with hemoglobin, magnesium with chlorophyll, and cobalt with the vitamin B12 molecule. The most important molecules for generating energy have a similar makeup in all living beings.
Dear fellow people, many words about the prevailing four primordial powers in matter turn into a distorted picture once again. In the end, they are assumptions and hypotheses. It is the effort and the attempt to want to express with many words something over which, after all, the veil of the three dimensions remains. Let us turn back from these scientific presentations to the explanations about the true being, the speaking all unity, the word of the universal creator spirit, from the vision of the spiritual all working of the eternal, just as Gabriella had depicted it in conversations. In our book to this program, we now read about the all harmony of the eternal being. The eternal being is the all harmony. It is the music of the spheres of the eternal being. All the suns and planets in all heavenly planes of the kingdom of God are in constant harmonious movement. The movement of the heavenly bodies and their sounds are in complete accord with the sounds of all life forms and with the spirit beings that live on the respective heavenly planes and have their spiritual structures on the various dwelling planets where the spiritual families dwell and live. That is true life. That is all communication. This statement about the heavenly structures and the families in the kingdom of God cannot be compared with the houses and palaces on this earth, nor with the families of this world. The structures in the eternal being are not built, but are instead created by the spirit beings, and at that, out of the ethereal primordial substance of the respective dwelling planet. The ethereal substance of the dwelling planet is raised so that the created edifice is in absolute harmony with the planet. The spirit beings in all heavenly planes are, depending on their mentality, corresponding bodies of sound. Their garments also correspond to the colors of the respective heavenly plane. Likewise, all life forms, from the mineral to the matured nature being, depending on their state of consciousness, have the corresponding form and appearance, which is reflected in the color nuances. Every color has its fragrance and, according to its state of consciousness, the corresponding sound. All color schemes come from the primordial light, the primordial central sun, by way of the prism suns, which, as stated, refract the white golden light of the primordial central sun into spectrums of light and radiate it into infinity. Form, color, fragrance and sound reflect the unity in all facets, also with the sounds of all heavenly bodies in all heavenly planes. For example, when spirit beings change from one heavenly plane to another, the basic color of their garment assumes the color of the corresponding heavenly plane. Why? Because all colors are contained in the garments of the divine beings, and thus also in all powers of the being. The form, the color, the fragrance, and the sound is also predetermined in all life forms, no matter in what state of development they are. Form, color, fragrance, and sound are a part of the all unity, just as in all heavenly planes, all suns and planets are part of the divine unity. This results in the harmony of the spheres, the music of the spheres of the eternal being. Dear fellow people, everything that is conveyed here in words, which correspond to the three dimensions, is not even a breath from the eternal being. Presently, we are human beings on this earth in order to become aware again of our origin. By walking the path within to our true being, which throbs and knocks in the very basis of our soul, and repeatedly calls and admonishes us to walk the path that makes us free and happy, and that lets us sense that we truly are not from this world, but sons and daughters of the Eternal, of the Father, Mother, God. Each one of us has accepted the human existence, the one more, the other less, in order to again find ourselves as a divine being in the very basis of our soul, to become aware of the unity with all positive powers, and to unite with all living beings, also with the innermost part of each person. This means to examine our sensations, feelings, thoughts, words, and actions day in and day out, and to give an account to ourselves as to whether what we sense, feel, think, say, and do corresponds to the eternal spiritual principles of the Kingdom of God. Through the contents of the Ten Commandments of God and the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus of Nazareth, we are called upon to examine ourselves every day and to reflect that everything that is to the right, left, above, and below us has a purpose in life, which, as divine essence, is part of the life of the all unity. To become sensitive means to understand that everything lives and that all things are in communicative connection with one another and with the all unity. Dear viewers, dear listeners, with these words, we would like to take our leave of you. If you would like to read and deepen your understanding of what you have just heard, let us know. We will be happy to send you the book to this program. In the fourth program of our series, we will be reading about the five components in the life of a person that turn into warfare agents. So as you can see, this series continues to be interesting and exciting. Among other things, we will be discussing the five warfare agents from the viewpoint of a medical doctor. So tune in again to our program, The Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit, a work of teaching and learning from the School of Divine Wisdom. All the best to you. Goodbye and greetings in God.